Well, good morning, Sanctuary Columbus family. My name is Micah Morgan, and as always, it is such a gift to be able to study God's Word with you. Now, it's not lost on me that today is that famed holiday that we love to devote to boxes of chocolates and romantic comedies. And so if you are someone who's married, single, dating, someone who loves to watch Peppa Pig or Doc McStuffins or reruns of Friends and the Golden Girls, our more seasoned saints, I want to extend to you a happy Valentine's Day. And in this sense, that you would be reminded of your belovedness. Now, if you don't mind, I just want to jump right into our scripture for today. Is that okay with you? Would you follow me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 through 24? Let's go ahead and read it together. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, as I spent some time in this scripture, I couldn't help but to be transported back in time to what my mom and I used to call deep clean Saturdays. Now, on these days, I would find myself leaning over my mom's shoulder, watching her hands intently as she shuffled through the things in her drawers, whether it was in the bedroom or the kitchen. And now for her, on these deep clean Saturdays, she had this plan that the things that she didn't want anymore, the things that she was getting rid of to make more space in our apartment, they would go into these bags that were labeled trash or Goodwill. But for me, on deep clean Saturdays, I had a different plan in mind. And that plan included imagining all the other ways I could use the pretty little trinkets my mom was planning to get rid of, and then subsequently begging her to let me have them. Now, it was a pretty predictable pattern. I would scurry into whatever room that she was in after I finished whatever task that she had given me, and then she would ask me some version of, "Mike, did you do what I asked you to do?" And I would proudly nod. And then I would quietly watch over her shoulder for a bit until I saw her pick up something I just knew that I could repurpose, some kind of gadget or object meant for holding things. And my only reasonable reaction would be to shout, "Ooh, Ma!" And she would look at me and already know what I was thinking. "Mike, what could you possibly use this for?" she would ask. And I would proceed to frantically explain to her my elaborate vision of repurposing whatever she was planning to give away. Something to organize this thing with, or to hold this thing together to that thing. I had a wild imagination, and so there was no limit to what I could come up with. Now, sometimes my mom would stop me mid-sentence, and she would simply say, "No, Mike, you don't need any more junk." But other times, I would somehow convince her that she would let me set whatever it was aside, a safe distance from all the other things that she was planning to give away. All it took was a few inches from here to there, and I could ensure that my newly repurposed thingamabob wouldn't end up mixed up into those plastic bags. Now, if you've been following along for the last couple weeks, you know that we just started a sermon series called The Prayers of Paul. And in this series, we've been answering the question in four different ways on 4 weeks, what should we pray for one another? Last week, Pastor Rich started this series with an exploration of what it looks like for a church to pray together and subsequently stay together. Now, as we continue with the second week of the series today, I imagine Paul hovering over God's shoulder, much like I hovered beside my mom on deep clean Saturdays. And much like a younger version of me sitting there imagining all the ways to repurpose thingamabobs from my mom's drawers, I wonder if Paul imagined all the ways that his beloved brothers and sisters in Thessalonica would continue to be repurposed as well. Today, I invite you to imagine with me that Paul had the following main idea in mind, that God wants us to be set apart in every meaningful way. I've called this sermon Prayerfully Set Apart. Would you pray with me? So, Lord, here we are, sitting in front of your word, and we are asking the questions, Lord, what would you have us to know of you, and how would you have us to live? So, Lord, I pray that you would help us answer these questions today. And in so doing, Lord, would you help me to decrease so that you may increase in this place? Increase our awareness of your heart, of your will for us, of your desires for us, of your love for us. And we will continue to give you all the glory, the praise, and the honor. In your Son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, you may already know that Paul is that personable pastor who loved to write letters to his church. And so here we have another one of those letters to Christians in the city of Thessalonica, whom Paul, Timothy, and Silas had visited and ministered to some time ago. Now, you can read about much of their time spent in this city in Acts chapters 16 through 18. Now, while they were there, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, things got a little dicey. There was a dedicated group of Jewish and Greek folks who welcomed Paul, Silas, and Timothy's message, and they decided to follow Jesus as a result. But there was another rather angry crowd. Some may even call them a confused crowd who did not welcome Paul's message and forced him and his ministry partners to leave this city much sooner than they expected. Now, after Paul, Timothy, and Silas fled to safety, Paul sent Timothy back to Thessalonica to kind of check in, see how things were going. And we see that in chapters 1 through 4 of 1 Thessalonians, Timothy brought back a pretty good report. Timothy reported that the new Christians in Thessalonica were holding fast to the gospel Paul preached to them just a few months before. They weren't being swayed by the angry and confused mob who accused these new Christians of believing the wrong thing. And so Paul writes to Thessalonica with pride. You can see that all throughout the first four chapters of 1 Thessalonians. He was pleased to receive this report from Timothy. But notice for a moment two examples of how Paul encourages the Thessalonians in this letter. He says, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other, for everyone else, and for everyone else, just as ours does for you." He says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. And then he continues with, "Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write it to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia, yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more." That's just another chapter ahead in chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. And then finally, we arrive back at our verse for today. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Increase and overflow. More and more, sanctify you completely. Paul is telling the Thessalonians a story about what they look like at the time of receiving his letter and what they'll look like in the future. Now, I want to pause here for a moment because I can imagine for some of us that hearing someone say words like increase, more, raises anxiety more than it raises hope. You may hear this list of phrases Paul used to encourage the Thessalonians, and you may be getting a small waft of worry that you'll never measure up, or suspicion that Paul is telling you that you're not good enough. But I want to propose that the story Paul is telling here is more an issue of imagination than it is of disappointment. That when Paul pictured the faces of the Thessalonians he left behind, he imagined them much like a young child imagines a small box or a paper towel roll during playtime. Now, will you go here with me for a second? I can imagine you've seen a child pick up a shoebox and suddenly it's a hat or a bucket or even a car within 5 minutes of each other. Or maybe you've got your ha or maybe they've got their hands in a freshly emptied paper towel roll, and it quickly becomes a telescope or a giant pen that a giant writes with. For the child whose imagination is still flexible and active, one generic object can become many things in mere moments. So what if then, when Paul says increase and overflow, more and more, sanctify you completely, God's first instinct isn't disappointment, but it's imagining one person showing up in many ways in mere moments. Family, as we continue this week answering the question, what do we pray for one another? I invite you to use Paul for your first answer. Let us pray for our increased imagination. Now, when Paul says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, he is indeed telling me and you a story about what we used to look like and what we will look like in the future. But if you're going to participate in that story fully, we have to do well to do so imaginatively instead of ashamed and hopeless. Let me put it to you this way. We'll have to look at ourselves, this one person named Matt, Michael, Paul, Kevin, and we'll have to see many ways that he or she can show up in mere moments. But what exactly are we imagining? Paul continues his letter in verse 24 by saying, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it may be tempting to see the words spirit, soul, and body and head straight to Google to try to figure out, well, what exactly were the parts of ourselves that Paul considered the spirit or the soul? But I just want to extend this to you that using these three words in a row is more like imagery for Paul. Now, this means that it's less likely that Paul was trying to make some deep statement about which parts of us are the spirit and which are the soul, and it's more likely that he was simply trying to paint a picture of the whole self. But now, if there is a word that we're going to get hung up on, I invite it to be that word, sanctify. Let's ask ourselves, what did Paul have in mind when he said the word sanctify? That's a word we can get hung up on. Now, few of us are Greek scholars here, and I know I'm certainly not, but some of the really smart people who say they are, they looked at what Paul wrote in this line of this letter, and they think that he likely used the word, the Greek word, hagiasmos, for the English word sanctify. Now, if those really smart folks are correct, then that means that what Paul had in mind when he used this word for sanctify was the nature of having been set apart from the ways of the world and for God's purposes. So allow me to rephrase this so that it'll go down the ear sockets a little bit easier for all of us. Paul is inviting us, by example, into our second application for today, which is to pray that God set apart our whole selves. Now, we have something to apply that increased imagination we prayed for earlier, right? Now we can look at our whole selves as a church family, our minds, our finances, our relationship with food, the way we vote, the way we do conflict in our marriage. And we can ask God, Lord, how would you set me apart in this area of my life? We can ask God, in what ways do you imagine me looking different from the ways the world tends to do things? Because, family, the reality is sanctification is, in fact, measured against something and aimed towards something. Our hagiasmos is measured against the ways of the world and toward the likeness of Christ. We can see this outlined beautifully in Romans 12 and 2, where Paul reminds the Roman Christians, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Again, against the ways of the world and toward the will of God embodied in Christ. So even as our imagination increases, we must be careful not to simply use the versions of ourselves from yesterday as measurement. In praying for God to set apart our whole selves, we are also inviting God to help us clearly see the ways of this world and to creatively imagine all the ways that we can look more and more like Christ. But let's take a look together at one area of sanctification that Paul actually writes about earlier on in this letter to the Thessalonians. Let's use this to practice a little bit. Here's what he says. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your body in a way that is holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, but that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Now, it's easy to see the phrase sexual immorality and allow our minds to jump immediately to statements about who other folks should be intimate with and who they shouldn't. But dare I say that that's a little too familiar. If God has answered our prayer already for increased imagination, I imagine that Paul has more to say here about how the body can be sanctified. There's a clear line that he's drawing right between the ways of the world and the likeness of Christ. On one side, we hear that the ways of the world often involve people's actions being dedicated to mere passion, emotionality, and desire, simply dictated by what a person wants in the moment. But on the other side, Paul is inviting us to be sanctified toward and into a life lived where our actions are dictated by a commitment to never taking advantage of or significantly restricting the choices of other people. So what are some ways that we can imagine this area of our sanctification, our set apartness, being played out? Well, what about with sharing food in the break room at work or at that potluck at school? Do we let our taste buds and our desires fully dictate how much food we put on our plate? Or will we think to ourselves, you know what, if I put this much on my plate, that'll really limit the choices other people have once they get to the table. Let me put some of this back. Or what about the ways that we drive, right? Now, I'm going to have to preach to myself here because I have a lead foot. Are we willing to let our frustration, am I willing to let my frustration with leaving the house a few minutes later than I planned motivate me to speed into the left lane and cut off the guy behind me? Or will we think to ourselves, you know what? If I cut this guy off, that will really take advantage of my assumption that he doesn't want to get into a car accident and that he will then slow down and let me keep driving. I don't want to be that person who takes advantage of people right now, so I'm going to stay in my lane. Now, the many ways that we imagine our bodies being set apart from the ways of the world and toward the likeness of Christ, those ways have increased beyond how we're intimate with others. The list has gotten longer. Now we're beginning to imagine our bodies can be sanctified in our relationship with food and the ways that we drive and so many other ways. So family, we've got two solid prayers that Paul has invited us to pray. The first is to pray for increased imagination. The second is to pray that God would set apart our whole selves. And in praying that, we can begin asking God, what are the ways that you would have me be set apart in my thoughts, in my actions? But travel with me back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and reread with me verse 24. Here's what it says. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the kicker. He who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Family, our third application for today is simple. It's an invitation to praise God for his faithfulness. Family, as I close today, I imagine us back in time on a deep clean Saturday, looking down into a drawer filled to the brim with you and me. We've already passed that scary time in history, in human history, when humankind decided that we wanted to discern good and evil for ourselves rather than trust God with those decisions for us. And over in the corner were these bags waiting for us, labeled with these big, bold, red, shameful letters, disconnected from God. But Father, Son, and Holy Spirit peek over the side of that drawer, and they begin imagining all the ways that they can set us apart for love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, justice, and mercy, for making disciples. And they decide right then and there that they will rescue us from that drawer and set us apart for their purposes. And so we went from being destined for hopeless bags of desolation and disconnection from God to being set apart for God's purposes through the work of Christ on the cross and through the continual work of God's Spirit in us. Family, I know every allegory or metaphor like this one can't possibly tell every detail of the whole story, but I know this. Sanctification does not and cannot happen on our own terms. If not for God's faithfulness, if not for God rescuing us from the decay of sin and committing to the continual work of redeeming us over and over and over again until our redemption is complete at Christ's return, being set apart from the ways of this world and toward the likeness of Christ would be impossible. So as we pray for our increased imagination, as we pray for our whole selves to be set apart, I invite us to remember that those prayers would be incomplete if we did not also praise God for his faithfulness. All three of these commitments we can make as we continually pray to be set apart. Would you pray with me? Lord, goodness. We end with a declaration today that you are faithful. You are faithful. You rescued us. You redeem us. Lord, none of this could happen. None of this sanctification we've been talking about could happen without you. And so, Lord, I praise you for who you are, faithful Father, that you will not abandon the work that you've begun in each of us. So Lord, I pray that as you continue to unfailingly do your part, Lord, would you strengthen us to surrender to this process, to contemplate and commit to ways that we will engage in sanctification, Lord. Would you help us to imagine all the ways that we can be set apart in mind, body, in word, in the things we do, in the things we say, in the things we think. Lord, this work, it doesn't end until your son returns. And so we pray for endurance. We pray that you would help us to keep digging, to keep striving. And in all of that, to know that we are your beloved, that there's nothing that can remove us from your love. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.